ranked one of America's top research universities, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries on UWM today. Here's the host, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor of University Relations.
Since its opening, UWM's Lupar Entrepreneurship Center has attracted UWM students from across the campus, students who want to know more about innovation, problem solving, and creativity, the very foundation of how entrepreneurs think. When the coronavirus pandemic began, though, all of the various programs had to move to an online environment. Yet in the last year, the Entrepreneurship Center has offered more programming than ever, increasing the number of participants from diverse backgrounds while serving student entrepreneurs in the virtual world, just as it did in person. Our guest on this edition of UWM Today is Brian Thompson, director of the Lubar Entrepreneurship Center. Brian is also president of the UWM Research Foundation, which helps faculty at UWM bring their ideas from the laboratory to the marketplace. Welcome, Brian. Good to have you on today's program.
Tom, thanks for having me back.
You bet. You know, since entrepreneurs are known for being creative, was it easier for you and your colleagues to adjust to life during COVID than perhaps for other people on campus?
I don't know if it was easier, but I have to say I'm really fortunate that we've got a creative team who seized on this as an opportunity. And in design thinking, we oftentimes treat constraints as an opportunity for innovation. And so we've really tried to do that in the virtual environment, not just in the Lubar Entrepreneurship Center, but we've also started working with campus groups to maybe stoke their thinking about how they can bring some of these ideas to their programming in a virtual environment as well.
I'm sure it was a disappointment to students because, you know, anyone who's walked into the Entrepreneurship Center, and we should really set the place for listeners who haven't been there before. It's right at the corner of Maryland and Kenwood, the newest, brightest, shiniest building on the UWM campus. It really is an island of fun, joy. When you walk into the building, there is just such high energy because students are wired to create, wired to think differently in that building. But you can't be together physically, so how do you replace that energy that really is saturating the building when you are there?
Tom, I'm pleased to hear you characterize it that way. It's important to note we're deeply grateful to the Lubar family and others that made this possible. And when you walk through that space, it's meant to be engaging. And the spaces were designed for creativity and flexibility. And we've done the best we can to move that to a virtual environment. So I look forward to the day when we're all back there in person in a safe manner. But in the meantime, we're doing our very best to bring that same spirit of energy to the programs we do online.
Well, let's talk about those programs. What is it that you're offering students, whether they're in nursing or engineering or business, that will help them to become an entrepreneur someday?
Well, key point here is that we love it when students start companies, but what we're trying to do in the Lubar Entrepreneurship Center is more broad. We're trying to offer skills in innovation, entrepreneurship, and creativity that we believe will serve our students whatever their chosen career path, whether they choose to start a company now or later, whether they go to work in nursing or one of the great companies in Milwaukee. I really believe that these skills will help them be more successful in their career. And we hear that from our students who come back who've been through the programs. So what we've designed are a series of programs at different levels meant to engage students across all disciplines and all campus units. And so we've done the best we can to bring that whole array of programming to the online environment.
You know, someone who might walk into the center would be surprised, I suspect, when you are all together physically in person, to see that you may have a graduate student in one corner talking about a great idea that they have. But there could also be a freshman a few feet away who is beginning the journey through entrepreneurship for the very first time. Is it really possible for a freshman, someone just out of high school, to think creatively and be that entrepreneur in training?
Well, I wonder if it's actually easier for the freshman than the graduate student. But yes, it certainly is. And we actually do programming with some of the area high schools as well. This summer, we did a workshop with Milwaukee Public School teachers and others. So it certainly is. We've worked to adjust the delivery of content to the various audiences. But that doesn't mean we dumb it down. We have, you know, even for incoming freshmen or when we do programming with high school students, we don't, you know, we hold their feet to the fire. We challenge them to go out and talk to customers and to do the process in a way that's appropriate for them. So I think while we're mindful of making sure we deliver the content to the various audiences in the best way we can, I really find that people rise to the occasion regardless of the level.
And you do have programs for those freshmen who step foot on campus, either virtually or literally for the first time, don't you?
We do. And I mentioned sort of an array of programs. Our challenge is to engage the entire UW community, all of the students and faculty. And, you know, that's our big goal. Again, a ladder of engagement. We can talk about some of the later programs or the higher up programs. But one of the ways we do that is through pop-ups. This is a strategy to touch as many students as possible. And so we partner with faculty members in different campus units and go into their class, and together we design an experience over an hour or a couple of sessions that might focus on lean launch or design thinking or customer discovery or storytelling. And we've been able to deliver that virtually. And so last year we had more than 4,000 interactions through these pop-ups. And this is really the broad end of the funnel. Let's make as many students aware as possible. And many of them are freshmen as they start their journey here at UWM.
I mentioned at the beginning of the program that one of the initiatives that you have had during this period of COVID is to make sure that you're touching the broad array of students, really making sure that diversity is represented in the Lubar Entrepreneurship Center. How have you done that?
Well, one of the things that worried me about the fall is, you know, we have this secret weapon, this beautiful building, and we're not able to bring students into it. So we were very thoughtful over the summer about extending and building on campus partnerships. And so we're relying and leveraging, I think, bringing both things to the partnerships, many of the campus organizations. So we've been working with the Black Student Cultural Center for 3 years. This summer we did even more. And so a partnership with them is helping us bring in more students. We've been partnered with the Roberto Hernandez Center, and they joined us for a Diverse Ideas talk recently, and they too are forming a channel. So we've been intentional, and I have to credit Nicole Polly and our team. She's really worked with many of the multicultural organizations on campus to build relationships. And so now, when we need to move to the virtual environment, we have an established relationship which can lead us to new channels. So that's sort of both helping us, but also in terms of bringing a broad, diverse group into our programs. And we also, we're offering them benefit because we're offering in compelling content to the members of their community.
Well, and that's really important, the fact that hopefully these students, as they graduate from UWM, they leave with a degree and an experience in entrepreneurship. The whole idea is that they will go back into their community, into their neighborhood, and help bring that creativity to life in terms of what new businesses and certainly what serving as a great employee.
Exactly. New businesses, but also, you know, entrepreneurship, intrapreneurship. These ideas around experimentation and innovation techniques and things like that are as applicable, if not more so, in established businesses or social ventures as they are in starting new companies. So I've been doing this for a while, and I firmly believe it, but I think this is content that can help in many, many settings.
You used a real interesting word just then. You said intrapreneurship as opposed to entrepreneurship. What's the difference?
Well, I think of that as people inside the great creative organizations, whether it's a nonprofit or established companies, Northwestern Mutual and Rockwell and others, who are recognizing that in addition to the other things they're very good at, they also are thinking about innovation programming. And so I think that there's an opportunity to be an innovator inside any organization. And the approach is a little different. In some cases, when you're in an organization, you're executing on a certain set of objectives. In entrepreneurship, you're often, as with entrepreneurship, searching for a new opportunity, searching for a new model. And so those acknowledging that that's part of the process and understanding the stakeholders and what values drive them can be useful in whichever setting you're trying to make change.
What do employers look for when they walk through the Entrepreneurship Center? Are they shopping for a student who has that great business idea that a company can essentially co-opt and bring in, or are they looking for the skills that the person might have as a result of going through entrepreneurship training, or is it both?
I think a little of both. I suspect that when we talk to people in the entrepreneurship community, angel investors and investors, they're looking for the idea and the person, because I think most investors will tell you that it's not just the idea, it's the entrepreneur. For employers, I think they're looking for those skills. I think you need the deep domain expertise, whether that's as a nurse or an engineer or a biochemist, but you also need skills in to be able to communicate your ideas. And this is some of what I think we're trying to offer through our programs in the Entrepreneurship Center.
You know, when I've described the work of the Lubar Center to folks, I spend a lot of time in Madison and in Washington, D.C., talking to our elected officials about the role UWM has. Often the reaction that I get is one of surprise when I suggest that this is not a program just for business majors or a program just for engineers, people who create or make a thing. When I've told folks that somebody could be a student in the arts or social welfare or nursing, as we've said, I'm not sure they always believe it. They say, now, come on, you know, how can you be entrepreneurial if you're an English major? What would you tell that person?
That's a key distinction about our efforts at the Lubar Entrepreneurship Center. We enjoy a special relationship with the Lubar School of Business, and the Lubar family and the supporters have made both possible. But the Lubar Entrepreneurship Center, by design, is not inside the Lubar School of Business. It actually cuts across all of campus units. So we looked around the country, and many organizations or universities that had started their entrepreneur or innovation centers, either in the business school or engineering, were trying to figure out 5 or 10 years later how to make it grow campus-wide. So it's a credit to the leadership and the supporters who decided from the start that this should be a campus-wide endeavor. And we've found great students out of the Lubar School of Business and Engineering, but also the Peck School of the Arts and Nursing and Health Sciences and Architecture. We have an innovative community, and I think we add value all the way across that whole spectrum.
So just following on that example you used, do you have situations where an architecture student may end up talking to a student from the arts, or maybe even architecture talking to somebody in nursing?
Absolutely. The interesting things seem to happen at the intersections. So we have a nursing student who has gone on to create a company. And early in the process, we linked her up with engineers who helped her develop some prototypes and build prototypes. We have architecture students that also worked with engineers. We oftentimes sprinkle in some of the art students with the entrepreneurs and find that there are some really interesting partnerships that develop out of that.
That's really a great opportunity for them to, I suppose, see what life is going to be like in the real world, since most of us work in environments where we're not necessarily surrounded by people who are exactly just like us.
It's a part of those broad skills that, and credit to all of our existing, you know, classes, but there are some things that that we we're trying to teach sort of above the domain expertise. And some of that is, how do you work across these different disciplines?
You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. Good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujak, and joining us in our virtual studios today is Brian Thompson. Brian is the executive director, the head of the Lubar Entrepreneurship Center on campus. He's also head of the UWM Research Foundation, which helps faculty, as I mentioned at the beginning, bring their ideas from the laboratory out into the marketplace. Brian, let's talk a little bit about the work that you're doing with faculty members, because there's another really, really neat program that you're engaged in. It's called the ICOR program. And this is one that has backing from the federal government. The federal government is also interested in creating a more entrepreneurial way of doing business in places like college campuses, isn't it?
So this is a program of the National Science Foundation. It's ICOR, or Innovation Corps, and it's led by Dr. Ilya Avdiev, who is an engineering professor and also our associate director in the Entrepreneurship Center. He and myself and Lauren Peterson, who is a former venture capitalist and our entrepreneur in residence, have been delivering this program now for some time. It's about 6 years old. It's targeted primarily at faculty researchers, but not exclusively. And it's not just UWM. We actually are, as part of the Milwaukee Network, we have research teams from Marquette, the Medical College, Concordia, Milwaukee School of Engineering, and we've had teams from other universities around the country. So it's, again, targeted at helping them look at their research and how they might explore market opportunities for that, with the hope that that research can have a broader impact by it getting into the market.
Well, give us an example or two of faculty members who have a great idea and now are using this program and your center to take it to the next step.
Well, we have, I believe you've had a guest on your show, the founders of Safely, who were just recently recognized with a Wisconsin Innovation Award, Dr. Carol Hirschmigul and Maria Gadarjiska Josefowska. They went through the ICOR program. They learned about how they go approach and talk to customers. And we challenged these researchers to talk to 40 customers in 4 weeks, which can be a daunting process. They embraced the process, learned how to do it. And if you talk to Carol now, she'll tell you that she's gone on to conduct nearly 400 customer interviews. They have received some significant grant funding, and they're also looking at other sources of support for the company. So granted, we started with a couple of great, very smart researchers, but they've embraced the commercialization process and the ICOR process to learn about how they might scale that enterprise.
And we should tell our listeners or remind our listeners that both of those fine scientists have created a new compound, a new material that they believe will be the basis of maybe that next generation of batteries storing energy in a different sort of way. So when they go out and they talk to customers, do they try to sell this new creation of theirs, the new product?
Key distinction is we tell them not to try and sell their idea. What we instead coach people to do is probe a specific market hypothesis, figure out if they're spending money on the problem, but don't pitch the idea. Because as soon as you pitch the idea, people want to sort of reassure you and encourage you as an entrepreneur. And so what we're trying to do is have them test specific hypotheses. Now, the other thing to point out in this ICOR program, you mentioned earlier the question about how we've gone virtual. And This worried us initially. We had to cancel our planned in-person spring cohort, which would have been 10 teams. But we decided to push ahead with a smaller group in a virtual setting to pilot it and see and learn from what we could do. So we took 5 teams instead, did a very high-touch process with them, and we learned from that. And so we brought back the summer program in an entirely virtual setting. So that's 10 teams. Each team gets matched with a mentor. And we had more than 50 people who participated in the process. And to our surprise, there are some things that actually worked better. I'll give you an example. We're challenging people to get out and talk to customers. And we say, we're not talking about surveys. We're talking about face-to-face interactions. And so it used to be we would say, you need to go talk to them in person, or maybe you could take a Skype call. Now, face-to-face interactions are really not possible, but everybody is much more comfortable jumping on a video call. And so in some respects, and it's not an easy thing, but in some respects, it's actually been easier for them to get interviews with people because we're all just, you know, Teams, Zoom, you pick it. Yeah, I can jump on for 15 minutes. And so we've been pleasantly surprised that this is not an impediment to them getting interviews. In some respects, it actually makes it easier.
So how have the faculty members responded to the notion of them transforming from an academic into someone who is now knee deep in the world of technology or the world of business to sell that technology?
Well, I want to respectfully acknowledge we don't necessarily need to transform them. There are a faculty member who worked long and hard to become experts in their field, and we want to build on that. We want to give them another perspective on the market. Sometimes this perspective can make them more effective in their research and the way they talk about their work and the way they portray it to funding agencies. And we also try and connect them with business people that can complement their skills. Some of them move towards that, but others find team members who can help them build companies. So it's a little bit of transformation, but also some partnering and some skill development.
So let's talk a little bit about ways in which these entrepreneurial faculty members interact with the students, the entrepreneur-to-be, someone who's very, very young in their career as a future inventor. Is there a cross-pollination that occurs there, or any conversations between these faculty inventors and students?
Well, we're trying to find opportunities for that. That's really part of the broader community building that we're doing around the Looper Entrepreneurship Center. We do that in different venues. We are, in some cases, the faculty members who are doing research bring their graduate students into the ICOR program, for example, or they may get involved with Startup Challenge. And so that's actually an interesting dynamic. Sometimes the faculty member will step back and let the student take the lead on the customer discovery process. And so the faculty member may choose to continue their primary track as a researcher, but sometimes the student may be the one that wants to take that forward. And whether or not they launch a company, they often come out with some great industry contacts and education about how they talk to people in industry that can really help them launch into their next position, next job, and start their career. So some of that gets sort of mixed up by bringing teams together in the iCorps program, for example.
Do you ever have students who come through your program and then launch themselves into full-time job of inventing, or do most of the students leave the university with this entrepreneurial training and embed themselves in a more traditional company, a business that's already up and operating?
I would say that most go on to traditional pathways, and I think that's fine. That's great. There is a subset, though, that do go on to the entrepreneurial ventures. We've had one student that came back, and he talked about his four failed startups before he landed in the current one. So there are some that, that also embrace that track. But either one of those is a success for us. Yeah. And on the student side, and these are students from the Student Startup Challenge, I also want to highlight the Student Startup Challenge because we mentioned our iCorps program, which is targeted primarily at faculty. The Student Startup Challenge, or the Startup Challenge, as we've really come to name it, because it's not just students, but it's really helping students learn from the entrepreneurial experience. This is led by Dr. Nathaniel Stern, and he's really been very creative in leading a team. He also works with Portia Cobb out of our Peck School of the Arts Film Department and Mark Fairbanks, our social entrepreneur in residence, and they've created a new virtual version of this program and done it very effectively. And so we launched it last weekend. We had nearly 50 teams that applied to the Startup Challenge this year. We've had to make some adjustments. We bring more members of the community in to help people. So you need more people there in order to sort of continue the interactions in the virtual space. So we use breakout rooms. We push teams into small groups with mentors so they can have intimate conversations. We bring them back together and do group content. And the other thing we did this year was we sent them all a welcome packet. So they received in the mail before the launch a packet that included a notebook, a series of worksheets that we'll be working through over the next two semesters. We threw in a few packs of Post-its and Sharpies because we're always in the sort of brainstorming mode. And so we wanted to give them something tactile to have in addition to the virtual delivery that we'll have with them over the next 6 months or so.
That's really neat. Hey, I have to ask you, given the fact that our lives seem to be dominated these days by COVID, I mean, we look at whether our face mask is on tight enough. We look at how far we are from people in terms of social distancing. Has the impact of COVID affected the types of ideas that students are coming to the center with to explore? Are there ideas for a company or ideas for an invention that otherwise might not have been on the plate if it weren't for COVID?
There are a few of those. And one of our startups, I mentioned the nursing student, this is Lindsay Roddy, who started Roddy Medical. In addition to the product she started in her experience through the Startup Challenge, she and her growing team are also looking at a new face mask. And they've been very creative in a series of prototypes. I think you may have had them as a speaker on this program
they
as well.
They have. They were terrific.
You know, that's a neat example of a company that was launched and going, but saw an opportunity. And so now they're working on both pathways.
Has COVID discouraged any of your student entrepreneurs from walking down this path, thinking, oh, man, there's no way with unemployment high and with businesses strapped that I could dare to walk down that path?
I don't know that I would say it discouraged. Now, admittedly, I get the pleasure of working with the ones who show up. And I heard once a speaker said, community is defined by those who show up. And so we've got people that are leaning into this. And so while I know we all sort of suffer from Zoom meeting fatigue and other things like that, there's a group that still choose to be part of what we do. We do everything we can to keep it engaging and interesting. And so, so far, they're still all in.
Well, hopefully we're going to be through this COVID situation sooner than later. When we do come out on the other side, how do you think the Lubar Entrepreneurship Center will function? Do you think you'll keep any of the learning that took place as you had to adapt to this virtual world? Or are you going to go back more likely entirely to in-person experience for these young entrepreneurs?
I don't think, as with so many things, I don't think it will ever go back the way it was. I think we'll take the best, I hope, of the virtual world and blend that with the in-person. And so I'm looking forward to the day when we can do some of both. So I don't think it will be the same. I think it will be even better still.
Well, let me build on that. Where do you see the Lubar Entrepreneurship Center being 5 years from now, presumably with COVID in the rearview mirror?
Well, we have a challenge to engage the entire UWM community. We, you know, have the goal from the chancellor and from the Lubars to make sure we touch all 25,000 students. We have a strategy around education, supporting the research mission, and also the launch of new enterprises. And we also have diversity and inclusion that cuts across that entire area. So those are the areas that we're focused on, and we want to impact as many students at UWM as well as the broader Milwaukee community as possible.
And is the broader community welcome when the doors are reopened again? Is it okay for people to come in and look around and maybe even have a conversation with you or students?
Absolutely. And that actually continues now in the virtual setting. So we are fortunate to be part of a growing network in Milwaukee. A lot of great things happening here. And so we talk to entrepreneurs, whether they're a UWM student or faculty, we talk to entrepreneurs in the network all the time.
Yeah. Well, Brian, terrific work that you and the team are doing at the Lubar Entrepreneurship Center. And again, we all hope that COVID will be behind us and the more inviting world of in-person allows you to do some of the entrepreneurial experiences with that energy, that kinetic energy that that you sometimes have to force into the Teams meeting and the electronic world that we're in. So very best of luck to you as you continue your work with the students and with the faculty.
Tom, thanks for having me back.
You bet. Brian Thompson, president of the UWM Research Foundation, along with leading the Lubar Entrepreneurship Center. Well, that's all for this week's program. Thanks so much for taking some time to tune in and see how the people and the programs at UWM are really making a difference here in Milwaukee and beyond. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next week at the same time. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today with host Tom Lujack, the weekly program where you get to meet the people behind one of America's top research universities, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Playing a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Learn more at uwm.edu.